Hello, hello. I'm KJ, and this is Midwest Bias. Hope y'all had a great Central Standard Time these past 2 weeks. We just got back from an awesome trip to Door County, Wisconsin. Ate some good food, drank some good cider, with some great company. Okay, let's get into the show. We have no iTunes reviews, or any other podcast reviews for that matter, this week. So I'm just going to move right along to a little personal item, and then we'll get on with the show. So, a couple weeks ago now, I posted on Twitter and my Instagram that my mom was diagnosed with ALS, or more commonly called Lou Gehrig's disease. And we knew this was the probable diagnosis. She initially went to the neurologist back in May. And man, he put her through the ringer. He did a ton of tests, ruling in, ruling out things. And I swear, we were at the Mayo Clinic almost every day for 2 weeks doing these tests. But I guess how they diagnose it is they do an EMG and they have those initial results. And if they come up as abnormal, which it was for my mom, they just give it some time. And then they repeat that test in about 6 months or sooner if the person is declining more rapidly than that, which was the case with my mom. And so they did a repeat EMG. I think it was probably about 5 months later, which confirmed what we were thinking, but praying would not happen, which was the diagnosis of the official diagnosis of ALS. But I'm not going to get too deep here or get into how I'm feeling or how mom is feeling, mostly out of respect for mama's privacy. At least not right now, I'm not going to. I think all you'd have to do really is imagine how you'd feel if you or someone you love dearly has been diagnosed with a disease like ALS, and you'd have a pretty good idea how we're all feeling. But I did want to bring it up here, however briefly, because it's likely going to come up at some point in the future on this podcast, and when it does, I want people to know what in the world I'm talking about without necessarily having to rehash it all. And also, I'm bringing it up because I want to take a minute to just thank everyone who has reached out personally to me to offer your support and your well wishes. Some have said they've dealt with someone in their family with ALS and offered advice and words of encouragement, and we really do appreciate it. I think those maybe seemingly small things to the person that's offering them actually offer big comfort to the person receiving them. So thank you very much. And we're also very thankful we live so close to the Mayo Clinic, who runs an ALS specialty clinic that we're hoping to get her started in ASAP. And you know, I'm also very grateful that she has decent health insurance too, because I don't want to imagine what would happen if she didn't. So grateful for that too. And if you're the praying kind, we'll take all the prayers we can get. Whew, okay. There's really no good way to make a smooth transition from that to discussing a good old-fashioned Midwestern beef expo, but that's exactly what we're going to do next in Rachel Reports.
It's time for Rachel Reports, Rachel Reports, Rachel Reports, she reports.
Well, yes, she does report, and here to report, once again, it's Rachel.
Hey there.
Now, first of all, before we get going, I want to point out the dedication you have to this podcast, because today is your birthday, and I know you know it's your birthday, but I'm just telling our listeners the dedication that you have. Today is your birthday, and here you are showing up for this podcast to report.
Well, that just means I have my priorities straight. I'm pretty...
That's right. Yeah, but we don't pay invested. You a single cent to be here. So happy birthday and thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I will say, though, that we got an email from Sandy Rohde. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Sandy said that she loves Rachel Reports and she'd gladly donate to the Rachel Goes to the State Fair Food Fund.
That is awesome.
But I will say this. There's some condition, I guess. Once funded, there will be oversight on selected food items, which must be taste tested, like the Jumbo Donut Sundae. So, Rachel, I don't know how you feel about, you know, with those conditions on there, but I think
I will
awesome.
Take it. Yep.
Good. Okay. So a few days ago, I texted you. I said, what have you been up to lately? Have you anything to report on? And you replied by saying something like, not really much going on here. I went to the beef expo today. And I was like, I'm sorry. What is a beef expo? So to me, this sounds like a very Midwestern. It also kind of sounds Western, kind of cowboy country stuff. But what in the world is a beef expo? Where was the beef expo? What happens at a beef expo? Please educate me.
Well, I will do the best I can because I'm not an expert. But it's kind of funny, go full circle, that the beef expo was held at the state fairgrounds.
Oh.
And let me tell you, it is so weird to drive through the state fairgrounds with everything closed. Like, I'm just craving deep fried food and like everything is closed. It's kind of sad, but.
Well, not just closed though, right? It's completely empty. Those vendors, their food trucks aren't there or anything, right?
Correct.
It's like a ghost town.
Yep. So the Beef Expo, I looked it up online to make sure I had it right, and they say it's the premier beef industry event in the Midwest with over 5,000 participants and visitors, and they have over 1,000 head of cattle that are shown.
Okay, by head of cattle, do they actually mean just the heads, or they're actually complete alive cattle?
Well, I didn't see any heads by themselves, so I'm going to go with complete cattle.
Why do they call them heads of cattle? I mean, we don't refer to human beings as heads of humans.
No, not that I've heard.
Okay. Well, I just have not heard that term, heads of cattle.
Oh,
so
yep.
5,000 cattle.
5,000 participants and 1,000 cattle.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Participants are human. The human heads were there too. 5,000 of them. Okay.
Yes, I believe so.
You were one of them.
I was.
Did you go alone?
No, I this wouldn't have been my preference, but my husband is a farmer at heart from Iowa, and this was right up his alley.
And it's the premier beef expo. Is it just cattle? Did you see any other animals?
I just saw a couple of dogs, but they were not being shown. So, yep, it was just cattle. Okay.
So I could have brought my dog if I went. Is that
probably? Yep.
Okay. Can you tell me what's the appeal of this? Do farmers go there to buy the beef? Is it like an auction type of thing?
Yeah. So they have a variety of youth events and educational opportunities. There's a chance for kids to do the showmanship. So it's junior showmanship. So they can get graded or judged on how they are showing their cattle. Don't ask me what makes that good or bad. I'm not quite sure. The cattle are judged. And I think part of it, there's a high quality sale. And so we walked around the two barns where the cattle were housed and watched them being prepped. And wow, it's quite the system. They're in little stalls and they're getting trimmed and painted and washed and brushed and kind of the whole shebang. And then we went into the show ring and they had two different rings going at the same time with different breeds. And there's different classes based on the breed and the ages. And then for each of the classes, they pick like the first top three or four. And then the top two are put off to the side. And at the end of that breed, then they judge the top two from each class all combined to come up with a grand champion. And then I think they pick a grand champion from the show as well.
Wait, so this sounds like a Westminster dog show, but it's for cattle.
Yep, definitely.
So they're sitting there in the stalls getting brushed.
Yes.
What do you mean by painted? Like, what is
that? Yeah, so there's like
their toenails.
Yeah, I'm not sure about their toes, but they were getting sprayed with some sort of stuff. I'm not sure. I'm sure it made them look better. I'm not quite sure.
So on glitter or something?
Yeah, maybe. That would have looked better for me, but they were getting quite detailed. I'm sure it's to make them look better, but I couldn't tell the difference, to be honest.
So there wasn't any cow that looked like it just stumbled in out of the field with cow pies stuck to its leg.
Definitely not. Wow. Every hair was in place. Maybe it was hairspray. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. So did you see, were there just, now it's going to sound like I know more about cattle than I do, But were there just like Holsteins there? Were there Angus? What kind of cows? Was it every type of cow?
So you got to bear with me because I'm a little out of my depth here, but it was a beef expo. So okay. I think Holstein or dairy.
Yeah,
right?
they're disqualified.
Yep. So it was like Angus, mm-hmm. Limousine, Mianjou. I can't believe I know these names.
Yeah, I'm taking back what I said about, I know it's going to sound like I know more about cattle than I do. Yeah, it didn't sound like that compared to what you just said. There's a Limousine cattle?
Yes, yes.
Are they black?
Like
Limousines?
The ones that I saw were kind of an orangish brown, but again, I don't know a lot about cattle, so I'm not sure.
Oh. Are they longer? Did they look longer like a Limousine might?
Not specifically.
Okay. Let's try to get down to why they're called Limousine.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
So Angus, I think, are more like beige. Am I right or wrong?
I was thinking Angus were black.
Okay.
Or a dark brown. But again, I don't think that I am the expert.
Okay, so Angus, Limousine, and you said one word I didn't even...
Oh, Mianjou. Mianjou, something like that.
Okay. That's another... brand?
Another breed.
Breed, thank you. Breed. Were these cattle branded? That's maybe where I got the idea of brand.
Yeah, there you go. I have no idea. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. But I have to tell you, with the judging, it was pretty funny because my husband was having a grand time picking which one was going to get first in each class. And this was actually my second time at it. And so I came prepared and brought a book.
like a book that has nothing to do with cattle.
Correct.
So that you
could
just, yeah, so you wouldn't be bored. Okay.
Yep. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. This was the first time we'd heard of it. And my husband says to my father, "Hey, do you want us to join us at the beef expo?" And my dad starts laughing, and then he realized that my husband was serious. He says, "Oh, sure, I'd love to come with." So the three of us are sitting there in the stands, and him, my dad, and I are just practically giggling and on the floor because these judges talk about each of the cows as they place them. And some of the quotes were, they had good female parts, okay. Nice femininity, and excellent teat placement.
Okay, repeat those last two.
Nice femininity and excellent teat placement, which was just more than we could handle.
Okay. You know, it's really not, those types of things are not up to the cow. And it's the same thing with dog shows. Like,
yes.
You know, excellent teat placement. Well, that's not, the cow shouldn't be praised for that. It should be like, if you believe in God, maybe the God should win the award. Excellent teat placement. Interesting.
Yes. Yes, I agree. We definitely got some chuckles out of that. But I didn't hear any of that this year. What I heard a lot of was that she was a big, good, stout female.
Oh, I think people have referred to me that way.
Well, I was thinking that's not an awful thing to hear, right?
No, not at all. Okay, so the judges, like, did they have microphones that you could hear them saying this stuff? Okay.
Yes.
Did they have any judge, like in the movie Best in Show, where they didn't really know about the cattle and just said, you know, can you guess how much I can bench press? Did they have anyone like that? Because that would have made the Beef Expo a lot more interesting to me.
Yeah, not that I was aware of. They seemed to know what they were doing, and all the audience seemed interested and not laughing. So I think...
Okay, well, did you get stares from people like, be quiet? Don't make fun of our Beef Expo?
No, thankfully. I don't know if we were hiding our laughs or what.
Now, I remember that when you went to the state fair, you talked about how you like to people watch. And I would like to know what the people watching is like at a beef expo.
You know, it's really interesting. There's a lot of families there, I think mainly because it's kids showing. Uh-huh. And so definitely there's lots of cheering and excitement when each of their kids wins one of the shows. So yeah, pretty much just a whole bunch of farm families.
Okay. Did you see a lot of cowboy hats?
You know, I wouldn't say specifically, no.
Okay. I think if you went to a beef expo in Montana, I think you'd see cowboy hats everywhere. So that might be the difference between a Midwestern beef expo and a Western beef expo, at least one of the differences. Now, I'd like to know, did the judges ever talk about excellent male parts or, you know, fantastic penis placement? I mean, or was it just the females that they were commenting on?
Well, that's a good question, because I also asked that, because the first time I went in this year, I only saw females being judged. And I asked if they judged the males, and my husband informed me that they did. And I checked later online that there were some males that won. But I don't think there were as many males. So I missed that opportunity to hear the comments.
Oh, shoot. Do you think that you will go back to a third beef expo?
Oh, I have no doubt. My husband had such a good time.
So he was in heaven.
He was very much in heaven, and I'm happy to support him as long as I can bring a book along.
Okay, and this did not offend him that you wanted to bring a book along?
Not in the least bit.
Okay. And did Pops have a good time? Did he bring a book?
He did not. So he did not come with us a second time, but we definitely talk about our...
Oh, this was a year ago. Okay.
When he went with you. Yeah, we definitely talk about our visit a lot. So,
because your dad, you know, he's been to Twins games with us, and he's brought a book to Twins games. So
yes.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree on that one.
Yes.
Is there anything else you have to say about the Beef Expo?
Well, I can tell you the other funny thing. Our first time we went, so my husband is this former farmer from Iowa, and we live in a suburb of the Twin Cities, but he's convinced he wants to buy a cow. And at the last show, we were walking through the barns, and we saw a cow with a tag in his ear, number 42. And my husband fell in love with number 42 and was convinced that he was going to buy it and put it in our car and somehow raise it in our little townhome here in the suburb. Okay. So I hear him wax poetically about number 42 all the time.
So, okay, there's a lot of questions that come up with that. But
yeah,
I've been to your home, and I don't think there's room for a cow.
No, definitely not.
Did he like the looks of 42, or was one of his favorite players on the football team number 42? But
no, nope.
Did he really like the looks of the
yes
the cow?
Number 42 was pretty young, and he thought that she had a lot of potential in the right places, apparently.
Oh, she had nice teeth placement.
Probably, exactly.
Okay, now did it ever come up that your friend KJ and the Hall of Famer have a huge pasture that's not being used with the barn that number 42 could hang out in?
Heck no. Oh, no. I don't want him to know that.
Should we not? Should that comment be edited out?
Yes.
Because he doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, I think we're okay.
Okay. Now, you said that it's like a dog show. So they crown a winner in each breed.
Yeah.
But do they then sell them? Is it like a cattle show and then an auction?
There's some sort of auction, and I'm not quite sure how that happens. And I did, to go back to your earlier question of why farmers do this, I asked that a lot of Chad, and it was something along the lines of, you know, it's good experience for the kids to show. And then hopefully, you know, if you win, that's a good sign for your farm. It might help, you know, generate business, that sort of thing.
Oh, sure.
But again, I am certainly not an expert in this realm at all.
Yeah, come buy our beef. We took first at the Beef Expo.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I have never even, I didn't even know what a Beef Expo was. So
exactly.
As soon as you mentioned you'd been to that, I'm like, okay, well, that sounds totally Midwestern, and I think I need to know more about the Beef Expo. But I can't
definitely
say I want to go to... I wouldn't mind. I guess I wouldn't mind going once and just seeing what this is all about.
Definitely. Mark your calendars. It's towards the end of October every year, apparently.
Okay. Now, my other question was there a single person at the Beef Expo wearing a mask?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think so.
That doesn't surprise me. Okay, is there anything else you want to report on, or are we just going to leave it at the Beef Expo?
I don't think we can do much better than the Beef Expo. I know. So that's about it for me.
But I would say, and I know it's your birthday, so I don't want to, you know, take up all your time, but I because this episode is coming out right around Halloween, I would like to know, what do you consider Halloween a holiday, A? And B, what do you have any special plans for Halloween, or is Halloween just another day in your family?
Yeah, so Halloween is by far my favorite holiday. I assume there's some because it's close to my birthday and because there's candy involved. Mm-hmm. It happens to be we're heading up to Duluth this weekend, but I'm hoping we'll be home in time for Halloween. So at our household, it's a big deal. We carve pumpkins, decorate like crazy. For Halloween evening, I put up all these decorations outside, and then we have a fire in the fireplace, order a pizza, watch Hocus Pocus, and then hope for kids to come. But we live in a part of a neighborhood where no kids ever come, so we end up eating all of the candy.
Wow, that sounds fun. Hocus Pocus, I don't even think I've ever seen Hocus Pocus. Is that the one with like Nicole Kidman in it?
No, it's Bette Midler. You have to. It's a Halloween classic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to think about. I mean, I'm not opposed to watching it, but our Halloween is a little different. We live, you know where we live, and we don't get anybody.
Yep.
So we don't even buy candy or decorate or any of that.
Sure. That makes sense at your location. That's why I can't figure out why we don't get any kids. It's a little odd.
I think
we're a little bit hidden, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's a suburb area where there's a lot of people around.
Yeah, I agree. Huh. I agree.
And how do you think Kata, the new cat, will fare with a lot of doorbell ringing? Well, I mean, there won't be a lot of kids. Maybe there won't be any doorbell ringing.
Yeah. Definitely a challenge. He's turning out to be an escape artist, so we'll have to watch him close.
Oh,
but we have some obnoxious Halloween decorations to put on him, so I'm sure that's going to distract him.
Oh, okay. So we'll need a picture of that.
We can probably make that happen.
And if you have any pictures of the Beef Expo or of number 42, I'd love to see it.
I think we can do that.
And I should, you know, speaking of Kata the cat, we have a cat in our yard that we didn't ask to come. And I don't know, the cat lives down by the saloon that's not far from our house. And now the cat has been making his or her way to our house for the last 3 or 4 days, hanging out, taunting Rue.
Oh, heck yeah.
And today when I got home, the cat was sitting on our front stoop. And the dog was looking out the front window, but the dog had no idea the cat was there because the cat, she couldn't see the cat.
Sure.
I got out of the car and told the cat to scram. And then Rue went crazy inside barking at the cat that she didn't even know was right below her. So this is going to be a problem. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think the cat's good for getting rid of mice.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want her taunting Rue. So if anybody has any suggestions on how to get rid of the cat so as not to be mean to the cat, I want the cat to go home.
Yeah.
It's a cute
cat.
That
is a little bit of a hike from the bar, though. My goodness.
I know.
I mean, not super far, but it's not close by. Yeah. Interesting.
My guess is it caught like a varmint, and now it says, ooh, that's prime feasting area. I'm going to go back.
Definitely.
And it doesn't really scare. So, you know, it's not like it's a feral cat like that runs away from you the second you approach it.
Sure.
It's a socialized cat. And so, like, I try to go toward it, and it doesn't run away from me. So it's a problem. It's a cute cat. It's a white cat with a black stripe.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it's kind of cute, but it needs to get off my lawn.
You don't sound old at all there.
I know, right? Not at all. All right, birthday girl. Thank you so much for joining me on your birthday. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I certainly hope that coming on to this podcast is not the highlight of your day. I hope you're doing something more fun than this. But don't tell me what you're doing, because we'll have to save that for the next Rachel Reports. Until then, have some birthday fun, and I'm going to move on to our Midwest guest co-host.
Sounds good. Excellent. It's always fun. Thanks, KJ.
Thank you.
Time for the Midwest guest co-host. She's the best co-host of the day. Yeah, it's the Midwest Guest Co-host. Yeah, you betcha she'll know just what to say.
Well, yes, it is time for our Midwest Guest Co-host of the day. And please welcome back for the third time, our first three-peat co-host, other than the Hall of Famer, of course. It's Kim Wilson from Michigan.
Yay! Thanks so much, KJ.
Welcome back. So before we answer some questions, I got some feedback that people liked the Twitter comments that Jolene and I discussed last episode.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So let's get to some of the comments that we received after that episode.
Sure.
First, and then we'll dig into the, you know, the hard-hitting questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, the WWJD, what would Jolene do question I posed last week? I don't know if you heard that, but we were talking about paint.
Oh,
and
yes.
Whether or not you can shake paint if you didn't buy the paint there originally.
Mm-hmm.
So Sandy Rohde at SKRHODE, who also happens to be Jolene's sister, says, by the way, unless you buy something at the store, brush, drop cloth, you can't ask a competitor to shake your paint. WWJD doesn't know because she doesn't paint. She's calling her sister out. I love it.
I was going to say, she's throwing shade right away. I love it.
So I think Jolene responded basically that she's right. I don't paint, but I still think you can.
I mean, I don't paint a lot. When I moved into this house 9 years ago, my best friend's husband helped paint the whole thing because he used to be a professional painter. And I told him I wanted nothing to do with it, because I hate the thought of painting. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even know if that would be something acceptable, because I just go to Lowe's and get any supplies and then I ask someone else to do it.
Yeah. Well, truth be told, I don't paint either. The Hall of Famer used to paint in college. She was on the paint crew at her college, so like a work-study job. So she's very good at painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'd accept my help, but she kind of prefers to do it on her own.
Okay.
And I used to do like the trim at the top, because I was decent at that. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at like the rolling. It's just too much hard labor for me or something.
Yes.
But now I can't do the trim either, because my neck just doesn't take that kind of movement. I am old. So the Hall of Famer is technically doing all the painting.
Well, you know, I have a porch, and she's more than welcome to come over and take care of this porch at any point in time.
You never know. I mean, we are due for a trip back to Detroit area. So.
Come on down. There's a porch waiting for her.
Okay. Now, regarding my question about the difference, again, last week I asked Jolene and Bob Walsh, what's the difference between scotch and whiskey or scotch and bourbon? I don't remember my exact question, but it had to do with scotch because Jolene and Bob are scotch drinkers. I figured they'd know the answer. They didn't know the answer. Well, Ed Butt emailed us at midwestbiaspod@gmail.com, and he said, I don't want to sound like a smartass, but the key thing that makes it scotch is that it's made in Scotland. Beyond that, for example, it has to be made with a certain grain or whatever. I'll defer to knowledgeable people. So I didn't know that.
Well, and this might have been covered last week on the pod, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but doesn't all bourbon have to be made in like Kentucky?
I don't think so. I think all bourbon has to be made in the United States.
Okay.
And if I remember right, Jenny Robbins said it has, in order to be considered bourbon, it has to have at least 51% corn.
Okay. That's what it was. Yep. I knew I had heard a piece of it while I was out and about, but I couldn't remember. I couldn't retain what it was. So, okay. Perfect.
So now I know that scotch is because it's made in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. I don't like any of that. So... I like bourbons and I like whiskeys. I'm not a fan of scotch.
Well, I don't think I am either, but I've never really had. I couldn't tell you if I've had scotch. Maybe I have. I guess I got to try that. Don't send scotch.
I was going to say, all of a sudden you're flooded with scotch.
No. All right. So this whole listening to podcasts at different speeds has sort of blown up.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, Mike Kenny, he confessed 2 weeks ago that he listens to all podcasts, I think he said, at like 1.5 speed or something. Okay. So that was his first confession. But then he said, confession number two, and yes, I really need to let this go. I slowed down the TK podcast to 0.75 when James Carville, I think he means, is on, but he didn't complete that sentence.
I don't blame him there, because Carville is hard to understand under normal circumstances. Yeah. Now, I am a person who will occasionally, to catch up on pods, I will bump it up to 1.5 speed.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you have a confession to make too.
Yes. So this is my confession. A lot of times, if I get stuck in meetings all day, which has happened more frequently than I would like to admit, I will bump it up to 1.5 speed. Now, I do have a beef with Apple in their latest update, as most people do with Apple in all of their updates. They added a 1.25 speed. So I am used to hitting the button once and it going to 1.5, and noticed the other day that there was a 1.25 and I was not listening at my normal speed. So I have a beef with you, Apple, right now. So
you didn't like 1.25?
No, because it was still kind of like in their normal cadence, but I still wasn't churning through the podcasts as I thought I was. And catching up. So a lot of times I'll catch up on the weekends. And if I have like a chunk to listen to, I'll bump them up. And then sometimes I'll forget I'm at that setting, and a whole pod later, I'm like, oh, I listened to that at 1.5 speed, didn't mean to, so I'll bump it back down. So it just depends on where I'm at with all my episodes during the week.
This is just continually shocks me. Do this. And he said he never needs to slow down KJ or the Hoffer. Clear and concise every time, smiley face emoji.
Absolutely. And you know what? For this pod, I don't typically bump it up. Because by the time that you drop your episodes on Saturday, for the most part, I'm caught up. So okay. I don't need to speed through yours. I can sit and I can really enjoy them. Some of them, they're a little bit longer. You know, Small Town Murder tends to be 2.5 to 2:45. So I'll speed those up.
Yeah. Well, that's what Joe Maloney at Joe the ITO. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Joe, I think, is a first time commenter. Thanks, Joe. He says, I sheepishly admit to being in the 1.5 times club. Got used to it when another podcast I listened to started pushing 2 and 2.5 hours long. Mm-hmm. It was either that or move even further away from work. Now, I don't know if he's referring to Speaking of Tangents, but that's how I took it, because Speaking of Tangents was quite long in the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, I never bumped that one up. That was never one. I don't think I started bumping them up until the past year.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that Jolene bumps it up.
Yeah. Yep.
she bumps up. She said that was the only one she ever bumped up was Speaking of Tangents. I have to take some pride in that. Some weird sort of pride.
There you go. Just don't bump up the Beetlejuice and we're good to go, you know?
Yeah. Bump that one up. Bump that up. And then there's Christopher Giannini at Crispy Giannini. He says, oh, I am a 1.5 speed guy for everything. And when I have many, I've bumped to 1.75 if it's not something I enjoy and it's just informative.
Yeah.
And that's Christopher, why are you listening to a podcast you don't enjoy?
There are some that are informative, but they go into like really granular details, and sometimes you have to get through those details. Mm-hmm. And there's one particular podcast I have that I will bump up to 2, they'll drop 4-hour episodes, so I will bump those up to 2 just to condense down the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Same thing with Todd Takei at Tooth Takei. I only listen to pods at 1.1 or 1.2 times, much faster, and I get agitated by the world.
That's understandable. I understand.
1.1 or 1.2, you're saying, is not that much faster.
No, it doesn't seem like it to me.
Okay.
No, I can tell the difference between the 1.25 and the 1.5.
You can. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here is the one that really started, because he sent a picture, and I started thinking, well, my goodness, I guess it really is a time saver. Scott Jenkins. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
at SEJ326. And Scott's another first-time commenter, so thank you, Scott. He said, I listen to podcasts at 1.6 times speed. I listen to a lot of podcasts, get through more this way. Speeding them up is helpful, as these stats show. And he's got these stats that he got from, I'm sure, his podcast provider. App.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it says, since the 20th of June, 2017, you've listened for 136 days, 10 hours. And then there's a time saved by, and then it's time saved by variable speed, 31 days and 17 hours.
Wow. I would honestly be afraid to check my stats.
Yeah.
That's just not something I would do, because I'm constantly listening to something.
Yeah.
It's just something in the background while I'm, while I'm working out, while I'm doing dishes, cleaning the house, all that stuff. It's very much just something that's on instead of having the TV on.
Right. That's how I listen to many of mine, too, because my commute's only like 10 minutes. So I really can't get a whole lot done in 10 minutes. I suppose if I speed it up, I can.
My commute is from my bedroom to my dining room. So that has significantly, dropped since the pandemic started. So, yeah. So my commute, much, much more or less.
But when you see that written out, he's saved 34 days and 9 hours in since 2017. I guess I can sort of see why people speed them up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But because I listen to them while I'm doing chores, I can't speed the chores up. Good Lord, would I love to speed the chores up.
If I turn this
podcast to 1.5, does that mean that I'm going to wash the floor at 1.5 times the speed? Because if that's the case, I'll be listening to 2.5 or whatever you want.
it might, inspire you to get moving a little bit quicker.
It might. You might be right about that. They're talking so fast, so then it just makes you automatically move fast.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
This is a great experiment.
I should have thought of that for the marathon. Did not do that, but
Yeah, you should have sped it up. I commented that you should.
You know what? And I should have taken your advice. I apologize.
Yeah. So I just included this tweet from Will. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Aquarium drinker, but there's no I, it's drnker. And I think Will, I think he's also a first-time commenter.
Lots of great people chiming in. That's awesome.
So I just thought this was a fun Midwestern adjacent or related fact. And he retweeted somebody named Real Brad Davis. And it was a picture of West Side Park, which he said was the Cubs' home before Wrigley Field.
Oh, wow.
So West Side Park had a mental hospital just beyond left field that fans and players could routinely hear wild noises from. It's where the phrase out of left field came from, meaning unexpected, odd, or strange.
That is fascinating.
Isn't it? What a fun fact.
That is awesome. I had no idea that that's where that came from.
I didn't either.
Huh.
So thank you for that, Will.
That's awesome.
There's good trivia for you when you're out, hanging out at a bar or something.
Absolutely. That's a friend of mine texted our whole group text that's on our football chain some random trivia, and somebody commented back that it wasn't that useful. And I said, it's the stupid, dumb trivia that you always get at the bar. You never get the obvious, really obvious trivia questions.
Right.
Exactly. You get the stupid, dumb, fun questions. So that's awesome trivia to know.
Yeah, it's great. I'm hoping I can throw it out somewhere at some time.
There you go.
Okay, the last couple tweets are our little food section. Mm-hmm. Somehow, there's always food, whether it's this podcast or speaking of tangents. So Michelle Pendleton at M. Pendleton, pausing to say Raising Cane's started in Baton Rouge, 90% sure on that, and has expanded from there.
Okay.
She's right. Someone else DM'd me that information as well.
So oh, okay.
When I think of Louisiana chicken, I'm going to Popeyes. Because Popeyes actually is not just chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it says Popeyes Louisiana Kitchen on it.
That's right.
So
this next tweet is from Kim Wilson at Kim Wills 33. That's you.
Oh, yeah.
You said, I also recently ate at a Raising Cane's and didn't understand the hype. Cars were wrapping around the building, but the chicken and sauce were just meh.
Yeah. I didn't understand. I went down to Kentucky and saw this Raising Cane's and I was like, oh, there's a line out the building. I got to go check it out. And it was just okay. The sauce was just okay. It wasn't anything that I'd particularly go back for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did like the sauce, but I certainly am not going to stand in line for sauce for chicken fingers that were just meh.
Yeah, yeah. It just, there was nothing interesting in the breading. There was nothing, and I'm not a big breaded chicken person either. You know, I prefer grilled chicken, but it still just didn't make it happen for me. And I've only seen them in Ohio and Kentucky. I have yet to see any here in Michigan.
Okay. Well, Minneapolis area has one. Maybe okay. They have more than one, but I'm more of a fried, I just wanted fried chicken that night. And by the time we found out that it wasn't fried chicken here, it was just chicken tenders, and they were, I don't think they were even fried, breaded. They were breaded.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out of line. So I'm like, okay.
Right. Cause they lock you into those drive-thrus.
They sure do. There's no getting out.
Okay. Same with like Taco Bell. Taco Bell will lock you into that drive-thru.
I haven't been to a Taco Bell drive-thru in years.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I will go every about 6 months, get a fix, and then get back home. So.
Yeah, well, and also with the World Series, there are free tacos, so you've got to go get them.
Yeah, I mean.
Are those the Dorito ones?
Yeah, and those are actually pretty good, but I feel like the line will be wrapped around the building once again for a free taco, and I just don't have the patience for that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I just don't have patience for that, so.
Okay, good. And the second tweet from Kim Wilson, you, to circle back to last week's Midwest Bias Pod, this is a Detroit-style pizza. I went with barbecue chicken tonight, and you took a picture, you sent a picture of the pizza.
Yep.
It was square.
Yes.
And by the way, apparently I screwed that up because I said it looks like it's been made in, it's square. It looks like it's been made in a 9x13. Hall of Famer said that a 9x, this is a Hall of Famer correction, a 9x13 is not a square.
No, no, no. An 8x8 is a square.
Yes. Is that what it was though? Because it sort of looked rectangular in the picture.
So they have these deep dish pans that are kind of, can't think of what they're typically made out of, but they're almost like, what's the thing that you can't wash with like regular dish soap?
Cast iron.
Cast iron, yeah. Yes. So they have kind of these cast iron, almost kind of cast iron things, deep dish pans that they put them in. And they make sure that cheese is all the way to both ends so that you get that crispy crust on the end. And Jets is like number one around here for that.
Okay. So that was not, I asked you if it was Pizza Hut. You said no.
No. No.
But that's the commercial I saw. So that's why yes. I asked that. Yeah.
Pizza Hut around here has pretty much all closed down. Some of the chains, when they come in, they do good for a while, but then they end up closing down. There was a Papa John's by us and that closed down. You know, it's hard to break in pizza around here.
Well, you got, you know, Detroit is home of Little Caesars, so you got that. So if you're going to go with fast food pizza, I'm and assuming there's a lot of Little Caesars around.
Yes, I have one just maybe about a mile from me, and they have this thing called the Pizza Portal, and you order online, and then they just stick it into this little oven when it's done, and you go up there. You don't have to interact with anybody. You just put in your little QR code for your pizza, and the door opens on the oven, and you grab it, and you go.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's fantastic. So if I want like a little lunch, four square deep dish pizza, Detroit style pizza, I can order it and then wait like 10 minutes, get in my car, and it'll be ready by the time I pull up there.
Yeah. See, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying deep dish. Is it as deep as like Chicago's? That didn't look like it in the picture.
Yeah, actually it is as deep as Chicago's. Oh, it's just, it's not as... you know, whereas the ingredients with the Chicago style are on the inside, and that's what is the filler. That's not what Detroit style is. The crust is just as thick all the way through, and then the toppings on the top. Well, the toppings, and then the cheese, and then the sauce.
That sounds good.
It was. It really is.
Now, for a little bit of QE, when I saw this tweet come in, it was the same day that I had ordered barbecue chicken pizza while we were in Door County.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Look at us.
I know.
That's awesome.
If anybody goes to Door County, you have, and you like pizza, Mm-hmm. Wild Tomato is the place to go.
Okay.
It's very good. Okay, so thanks for going over the comments with me. Shall we get to a few of the questions now?
Absolutely. Let's roll.
Okay, speaking of Michelle Pendleton, she sent in a question. Michelle Pendleton in Houston, Texas. She actually asked two questions, but the second one was a question for the Hall of Famer. So we'll wait until she's back as our Midwest guest co-host to ask her. Okay, so Michelle says, hey, KJ and the Midwest guest co-host. Now that the weather is getting cooler, it's crockpot season. Asking for a friend, how many crock pots is too many crock pots? Also, at a Midwestern potluck, is it okay to bring your offering in a crock pot? And do they put out a power strip so that everything can keep warm?
Mm.
So how fortuitous that this question showed up when Kim, the queen of crock pots, was
absolutely
on the show.
I mean, it was just the whole QE thing again. She knew. Yes. She must have known.
First of all, before you answer Michelle's, why don't you tell me when do you consider it to be crockpot season?
Well, actually, I kind of consider crockpot season all year round.
There it is. I knew that would be your answer.
Because if I don't want to heat up my house when it's already, 1,000 degrees outside, mm-hmm. And the humidity is at 100%, I will just do shredded chicken tacos in the crockpot.
Right. Yes.
And that's a really good go-to because that will last for a couple of days and all is well. So, and you can do anything in the crock pot. So, it's all year round.
It's all year round. Okay. So how many crock pots is too many crock pots? Michelle wants to know.
It's never enough. There's never enough because there's so many things you can have, you know? So, I mean, I have four. Mm-hmm. Was it four or is it five? Four.
You know, I thought it was four.
Four, because I got the big one, the medium, the small, and the Instapot. So four. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. I constantly have to go over my inventory, as a single person going over all my inventory.
Just think if there was more people living in that house, how many crock pots you'd have.
Well, if another person came in and lived with me, they would have to bring four crock pots with them so that the ratio would stay the same.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
We have one crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Yeah, just one.
Okay.
And I think you could definitely do crock pot all year long.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tend to because we... Almost, we just made a frittata the other day in the crock pot.
Ooh.
So that's about the only dish we make in the crock pot that's not a soup or a stew.
Okay.
And neither one of us likes soup or stew, soup or stew, or super stew.
A super stew, yeah.
Yeah. We don't like that in any time until the weather turns cold. So I'm not a summer soup eater.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that. Now is the time when you can start breaking out like the white chicken chili recipe.
Yes.
That's really good.
Oh, yeah.
I have a baked potato soup recipe that's really good. All those really good things that are like hearty, you could do a beef stew in there. Just those things that just make you all warm inside and, kind of hibernating. Those are definitely crockpot friendly for, the wintertime. So.
Absolutely. Now, this question, I don't even understand the question, Michelle. If she wants to know at a Midwestern potluck, is it okay to bring your offering in a crock pot? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, if I am unfamiliar with the host, I will check ahead of time that it's okay to bring one, just because I want to make sure they have enough room.
Right.
I don't want to just bring one and expect them to make room for me. I want to alert them ahead of time. Hey, I'm going to have a crock pot thing just... is it okay? Now, as a person who has tried to be always prepared for things, I would probably bring my own power strip just to make sure.
Yeah. So then do you feel like you still need to ask them if you bring your own power strip?
No. I'm saying like in general, I always keep like something with me. But but for like room in terms of where are they serving all the food, I would want to make sure that they had room for it.
I think that's very considerate. That's very Midwestern.
Yeah, just be polite,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just be polite. Just be polite. Really, that is something that could solve a lot
I know.
In the world.
Absolutely.
Or just be kind,
Yeah.
And she wants to know, do they put out a power strip so that everything can keep warm? I think she's asking, does the host put out a power strip or does anybody put out a power strip? I have seen power strips. I'll answer it that way. I have seen power strips so that everything can keep warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we had an incident at my prior place of employment where we had... Yeah, it was a crockpot incident. We had too many going at one time and we blew a fuse. Yes. And yeah, so in a giant building, they tend to frown upon you blowing fuses before for a Christmas breakfast kind of potluck special. So just as a heads up, that could happen as well.
Yeah, it certainly can. That's very good PSA right there.
Yes.
Okay, from William Bird. What's the earliest date Christmas decorating is acceptable in the Midwest? Not displays inside stores, but outdoor decorations. I ask because I saw last weekend the Zaxby's place in town, our Zaxby's chicken place in town, already has lights and such up. And since there were snowflakes, bells, and holly leaves, no doubt this was for Christmas.
Kim, so that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
That is absolutely unacceptable. You're completely skipping over two holidays in order to get to the third big one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean... You can put out a few spiders and stuff and make it look Halloween.
Yes.
And in fact, you can use some pumpkins and corn stalks and everything, and that can actually transfer over into Thanksgiving.
Yes, fall.
There's absolutely no reason why an outside display should be Christmas just yet.
I agree. And in fact, I don't think that until Thanksgiving is over, there should be no Christmas decorations up.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I like to say, at least wait till the 15th of December.
Oh, wow. You're the late one.
But I'm okay if people want to do it, but you got to wait till after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Typically, I reserve that weekend. So, you know, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, all that. I reserve that for putting up my tree.
Okay.
So I'll put up my tree then. I'll go over to my parents' house, put up their tree. It's basically an all tree spectacular weekend. So, but I wait until Thanksgiving to make that happen.
Yeah. Now, do we think that there's any way that, I'm assuming the answer is no, but maybe Wilbur didn't notice that Zaxby's had decorations up all year? Because there are homes I know that just don't take their lights down and they're ready for Christmas. Ooh. Do we think this is what happened at Zaxby's and William Bird is just not very observant?
I'd hate to cast aspersions on someone that, you know, is trying to be helpful and just trying to look for guidance from us. I think he pointed out clearly.
Yeah, I don't think that William Bird missed this all year. This seems to have been something they did before Halloween. And it's, like you said, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, no. They made a decision. They made that bed and now they have to lie in it. And it's just, it's not a good one.
Yeah, I wonder if people are boycotting buying the chicken right now.
Most likely not. I have a feeling that they are just confused and but still buying the chicken.
Yeah. Now, I someone told me that Zaxby's is similar to Raising Cane's, that it's just chicken fingers. Do you know anything about Zaxby's?
No, I've never been to one, so.
Yeah, me either.
Hmm.
Yeah, and for as far as Christmas music goes, I feel the same way. I really don't think that should be out until at least Thanksgiving. But so, I prefer December 10th to 15th.
So, funny story. I worked in radio for 13 years.
Yes.
And I also worked at a station who is known in the Detroit area as being the number one Christmas station.
Oh.
Every year around Halloween, people start getting angry that either they want the Christmas music early or they don't want the Christmas music early. You cannot make these people happy.
No, you can't please anyone, it sounds like.
No. So everyone's either angry it's not already up at midnight or everyone's angry that it is up at midnight. They have switched over to full Christmas music on different days, typically around the first or second week in November. I've heard this year it's going to be around November 9th.
Wow, that's way too early, Kim.
Yeah. Now, I didn't have to listen to it all day, unless it was Wednesday, because that was the day that that was on the overhead speakers. But yeah, so, I mean, in the pick your poison of the, you know, couple of stations that we had there, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but I kind of had to drown it out. And that's when I started listening to podcasts.
Yes. I don't blame you. I do not blame you. Now, speaking of holidays, I was going to ask you if you considered Halloween a holiday, but you already answered that. And I figure because this episode is coming out right around Halloween, I had to ask you that. And then I asked our guest previous to you, Rachel, what kind of traditions she had for Halloween. And so I thought I would ask you that, too. Is it a special day for you? Is it something that you totally ignore? What do you usually do?
So I have nephews, and they are 12 and 8. And so every year, it was originally at my parents' house. We would go around my parents' house around those blocks and do candy and trick-or-treating with them there. But since my sister and her husband bought this house, we go over to their house, and typically my brother-in-law will take one of the boys around because the 8-year-old still doesn't understand it. And they're so overloaded with like trunk or treats now that he's got so much candy before Halloween, he doesn't care. Now the older one sees it as a competition and he wants all the candy. So him and my brother-in-law will go around all the different houses and try and get as much as possible, while my sister, my mom, and I will sit around a little bonfire and pass out candy to the kids of the neighborhood. And so we've been doing that. I think she bought her house in 2013. So we've been doing that for, you know, that many years now. It's been great. We've always done something on Halloween.
Okay. So you must get a fair number of kids that knock on your door then.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. Yep. And what sort of candy do you give out?
So we are the mini, the little fun size ones. So we're, you know, the Snickers, the Milky Way, the Reese's. The Reese's are kind of a one for you, one for me situation. Those don't always go out.
I do not blame you, sister.
Yeah. So, and then we'll get most like Tootsie Rolls and stuff like that. It just depends on what grab bag we get, but that's mostly what we stick to. And then when my nephew gets back on his adventure, I scour his stuff for Airheads because those are some of my favorites.
But we have all my Airheads.
Oh, I'll take them all. Him and I will fight over them, but I tell him, look, you know, I'm your aunt and you just have to deal with it.
Okay, interesting. Not your aunt, your aunt.
No, aunt. Yep.
Airheads. I can't go with you on that.
I love like Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, no.
All that stuff. Sour Patch Kids is how I got my first crown. So, you know, I mean, really.
So what I need to say now is that Rachel, when we would go out for ice cream, Rachel would put, it was actually Cherry Berry. Have you ever heard of Cherry Berry?
It sounds familiar, but what would you describe it as?
It's a frozen yogurt place where it's self-serve.
Oh, okay. Yep, we have those.
And now all the Cherry Berries around here are out of business, I think. So, but we used to, there was a time when we'd go to Cherry Berry. We'll meet you at the Cherry Berry. Okay. That was when we still lived up in the Twin Cities. Okay. So we go there and you get your yogurt and then you have all these toppings. Now, I am always, always chocolate. I will put hot fudge on. I will put caramel or caramel. I will put Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I will put mostly chocolate. Not Rachel. Rachel would put on like Airheads and Sour Patch Kids and gummy bears. And I'm wondering where you, it sounds like if you like Airheads as a candy, I bet you'd throw that on an ice cream or a yogurt.
Yes, I would. I would absolutely. But it would all depend on my mood because I also like the Reese's and the caramel and the hot fudge. And so it really just depends on where my palate is that day.
I understand that I have moods for other things, but not ice cream. I'm never going to throw on a gummy worm or an Airhead.
Man, I got to be on Rachel's side on that one.
Well, you two can do that while the Hall of Famer and I are eating all the Reese's.
Okay.
Thanks for answering those questions. Now, I was thinking since we don't have another guest for our non-Midwestern guest or the guest expert slot this week, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to answer some wheel questions.
Sure. Why not?
I mean, here at the Midwest Bias Podcast, we don't just ask questions, we ask the wheel questions. So I'm going to spin a wheel, and whatever number the wheel lands on, I will ask you a question from a list I have that corresponds to the number the wheel lands on.
Sounds good.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Number two.
Okay.
This is funny. It's the same one that Bob got. If I told you I was visiting Michigan, what would be your number one recommendation of a place or thing I should visit or see while I'm there? Aside from you, of course, Kim.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's so much to see and do. Number one, because I know you and the Hall of Famer are outdoorsy people.
Mm-hmm.
We would definitely go down to the island that sits in the Detroit River called Belle Isle.
Okay.
And there is lots of places to walk around there. They have started to put paved trails there. And it's just a beautiful island that sits in the middle of the river.
So do you need to take a ferry to get there?
No, you take a bridge.
Okay. All right.
Yep. It does require the park pass, though, that I had mentioned on a previous.
Yep.
So that's one of the main reasons why I get that for my tabs, is to make sure that I can get access to that island.
I can't believe how cheap your park pass is.
The $11?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
You add that to your tabs?
Yeah.
It's like $60 in Minnesota to do that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Now, I mean, our tabs are extremely expensive compared to other states from what I've heard. So, you know, possibly that $11 is just, at that point in time, I'm like, just pay whatever. I just be done with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Are you up for one more wheel question before we go?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Spin it. Ooh, number four.
Ooh,
what would you say is your biggest hobby, interest, or expertise?
Well, I mean, I've taken up running, and that has been a hobby of mine for the past 9 years. So, I've done the half marathons. I did the full marathon this year. I think I'm going to go back to try and get down my 5K time, all that stuff. I like it because I can do it. I don't have to depend on other people to do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I played softball, you know, you had to depend on the team and you had to make sure that you had a full co-ed team that was the right amount of gender balance in there.
Sure.
And that was always a challenge to get females to join. So once I stopped playing softball, I got into running, and I really do enjoy it because I can just go out and if I want to run 5 miles one day, I can run 5 miles one day. And I'm not impeding anybody, so, or waiting on anyone.
Yeah. And you, was it your first marathon you did just a couple weeks ago?
Yep. Yeah. And my last.
And
so
your last.
We're not, we're not going to be doing that again. It was an experience.
Mm-hmm. You can check it off the list.
I can check it off the list. I really wanted to do one where people were cheering at the end and I'd be so happy crossing the finish line. I was absolutely miserable crossing the finish line. Aww. And that's very evident in my photos. And these people are this organization stayed and was like cheering for everybody and it was great. And I wanted to be so happy that they were there. I was just miserable by the end. And I had something going on with my left foot and I didn't know what it was until I could take off my shoe, but I was not going to take off my shoe until I could get into a safe place, like my car. And it ended up being a sizable blister that luckily did not pop.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it was sizable enough. I was noticing pain in my foot. So the last 6 miles was me noticing that.
Well, you know what? You didn't quit.
Correct. Yep.
6 miles is a long time to run when you're hurting like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I ended up meeting up with a pacing team who was pacing for a 6-hour, 30-minute finish. And I stayed with them for a good portion of it and ended up finishing in 6 hours, 32 minutes, and 42 seconds. So, you know, it was good.
Did you have a goal in mind as far as time, or did you just want to finish it?
I really wanted to finish it, but I really wanted to do it around 6 hours and 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, because you made the rule.
Yeah, because I knew that my half marathon time, I finally got under 3 hours. And so I was trying to extrapolate that out. And I was like, well, if I can do that, I know I'm going to add time later because I'll be tired later. You know, so I was trying to have the goal of around 6 hours and 30 minutes. And some people finished in 7 hours and 30 minutes. And you know what? They still finish. They still get the medal. All is well. So, you know.
You know, and I argue that the people that take 6 hours or 7 hours or 8 hours, they're working harder than the person that finished in 2.5 or 3 hours.
Absolutely.
You're not exercising for 7 straight hours.
Right. Yeah. Your heart rate has come down significantly
exactly.
since then.
Exactly. Well, good for you. What an accomplishment.
Thanks. And I got 2 shots of beer on the way, so it was a good time.
Excellent. See, that's one thing I know I couldn't be doing while running a marathon is drinking beer.
It was great. I was like, I'll take a shot over there. And then about 2 hours later, somebody else offered me some. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'll take that. And then later on down the line, some people were offering me and I'm like, no, my stomach is starting to slosh a little bit. I can't do that.
Yeah. Was it Coors Light or was it some other beer?
Oh, I have no idea. It was okay. Poured into a cup. And so they were, you know, the first one was lighter. So I'm going to guess it was more of a Bud Light, Coors Light kind of feeling. The one over in Indian Village, which is a really nice area, right actually by that island, Belle Isle.
Okay.
Huge, wonderful, historic homes. They have a little bit more money, so they had a darker beer.
Was it a stout?
No, it wasn't a stout. It was more of a brown or a red.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was delicious just as much. Oh. So
so you didn't take the time to pause and follow the decay rules. You didn't sniff it. You didn't.
No. That was a grab and go kind of situation. Yeah. And then this lady who was at an official liquid station was like, you need any water to wipe down that beer? And I'm like, no, I'm good right now. Thanks.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, Kim, thanks so much for joining me again.
Absolutely.
Great to have you back. Hopefully you feel like coming back for a fourth time because you had such a good Central Standard Time.
Anytime.
All right. That's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod, and you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Overcast, that's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast yet. But Best Rubber Stamp is. Thanks so much to Best Rubber Stamp and Christopher Giannini and all the folks over there. You can find them at bestrubberstamp.net. Email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. Or give them a call at 901-278-4500. Mention Midwest Bias, get 20% off your first order. And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it, no worries, don't even waste your time. Really, it's fine. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
And that's when I started listening to podcasts.